Thankful again to the God of heaven, who certainly does all things well, for allowing us to come and assemble ourselves here just one more time. And like I always like to say, it's just like coming on back home. Amen. And you know, I was excited when I got the call from Brother Pryor. Yes, sir. But I picked up the phone and hollered, "Brother Pryor," every time. Amen. Yes, sir. And you know, y'all treat us so well and so good, and we appreciate it so very much that y'all got me contemplating some things now. I might start coming on a more regular basis. Amen. I might start coming permanently. I don't know. Amen. If y'all would have me. Amen. Amen. But we just enjoy coming every time we get the call. And thank you for the invitation to come. And thank all of you for coming out this evening. I was kind of long-winded the last time I was here, so I'm going to try to make up for it tonight. Notice the key word. I'm going to try. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 33. Now, this is a lesson that I've preached several times before, and you know, I always can preach this lesson and just add a little twist to it. Now, tonight, I want to make 2 points. But these 2 points are very profound when it comes down to the church and when it comes down to the commission of the church and doing the work of the church and standing up for that which God said to be right. When I give you these 2 points tonight, I'm going to take my seat. Is that all right? Amen. But now, if these things that I'm saying will encourage someone who is not yet a member of the Lord's church to want to come and be baptized, we're not worried about time. We worried about saving lost souls. The primary function of the church is to seek and to save that which is lost. So we want you to come and just listen, and please give me your undivided attention for just a few moments. Ezekiel chapter 33, and we appreciate the brethren who led the song to the reading of the scripture and the prayer, preparing our minds and getting us ready to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. Now, I'm not going to reread all the verses, but I do want to read one for emphasis sake. And I want to read verse number 3. The Bible says, "If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people." And I want to address the subject tonight of blow the trumpet and warn the people. Blow the trumpet and warn the people. Ezekiel here is getting a word from the Lord. And he is telling Israel, you need to choose a man from your own coast. You need to choose somebody that is from among you and set them for a watchman. And then now I'm going to bring the sword upon the land. Now, when the watchman, you know, usually a watchman has a watchtower. And he sets up high so he can see a long way off. And he can see the enemy coming or danger coming. That he can warn the people so that they can prepare for whatever is about to come. He said that I want you to, that when you set that watchman, that when he see the sword come upon the land, that he blow the trumpet and that he warn the people. The Bible said that he said, now listen, if that watchman blows the trumpet and warn the people, and the people take heed to the sound of the trumpet, then that not only have the watchman delivered themselves, the people have delivered themselves, but the watchman has delivered himself because he done what I told him to do. Is that all right? Then he goes on down in a few more verses, and I'm just moving on through for time's sake. He goes down in the next few verses and said, now, if the watchman see the sword come upon the land, but yet he failed to blow the trumpet and warn the people, yes, the people will die in their iniquity, but their blood will I require at that watchman's hand. Now, I want us to know this evening that if you don't know, we who you are and who I am as baptized believers in the Lord's church today. As baptized believers, we are referred to and called the ecclesia. the called out ones. We are the God's chosen people. Who are we? Look in 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Now, brother, I'm sorry, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want verse number 9 and verse number 10. Now, let me give y'all a little something, and we'll be there in just a minute. And somebody else can get Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Now, somebody else can get 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. Somebody else can get Mark chapter 3 and verse 25. And if y'all read fast, we're going to get out fast. Is that all right? And if we don't get out fast, it's because y'all not reading fast. Hey, man. I got to put it on somebody. Hey, man. Hey, man. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9 and verse number 10. The Bible tells us who we are. The Bible said, but ye are a chosen generation. Anybody have it? Read it.
But ye are a chosen generation.
You're a chosen generation.
A royal
priesthood.
A holy
nation.
A peculiar
people.
That
you shall show forth
the praise of him,
who called you out of darkness
into
his marvelous light,
which in time past
were not a people,
but
now are the people of God,
which have not attained
mercy,
but now have attained mercy.
Who are we? We are a royal priesthood. Who are we? We are a chosen generation. Who are we? We are a peculiar people. We are the ecclesia. We are the chosen one of God. God has always had his chosen folk. Is that all right? You remember in the days of Israel, Israel was God's chosen people. I remember when Israel was crying out down in Egypt land, and God sent Moses down to deliver his people. God has always had a chosen people. And when we are in obedience to God's will, we are baptized believers in Jesus Christ. We are the ecclesia. We are the royal priesthood. We are the holy nation. We are a peculiar people. We are the people of God. And believe it or not, we are watchmen. And it's incumbent upon us as being watchmen to blow the trumpet and to warn the people. Let me tell you something, my friend. You don't have to necessarily be an elder in the church to be a watchman. You may see something coming that the elder might not see yet. You go and blow the trumpet. Brother Pryor, Brother Daniel, blow the trumpet. I got to tell you something. There's something coming. I see it coming. I don't know if y'all saw it coming, but I see it coming. You got to blow the trumpet and warn the people. Preachers of the gospel, you trumpet blowers. We trumpet blowers. We got to blow the trumpet and warn the people these things are coming. You know, look in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Not only are we the ecclesia, not only are we the chosen people of God, but we also have a commission. And what is our commission? Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says what? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, this is point number one. We are watchmen. We are watchmen with a commission. And our commission is to go and teach and baptize. Is that all right?
Amen.
Then to then observe. Do you see that in your Bible?
Yeah.
It said we need to go ye therefore. Do we got to teach all nations? We must baptize all nations. And then we must observe whatever he has commanded us. Is that all right? We got to blow the trumpet and warn the people, tell the people that are not members of the Lord's church that God has a plan of salvation, that God wants you to be saved. God does not want you to be lost, but you must obey him in order for heaven to be your home. Go and tell the world today. Tell your neighbor, tell your friend that Jesus came. He died. He came. He died, was buried, but rose again on the third day with all power in his hand. Tell your neighbor at the store about the congregation here at Hart Street. Tell them that the gospel at Hart, gospel of Christ is being preached at Hart Street every Sunday. Tell them to come on. I'll meet you somewhere and you can follow me on over. You can get in my car and you can ride with me. You can call the church van and they'll come and pick you up. Is that all right? We need to blow the trumpet and warn the people today that the sword is coming upon the land. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. Hebrews 9 and 27. Jesus, the Lord, the writer of the book of Hebrews, said, and it's appointed unto man once to die, the sword is coming upon the land. Amen. We as watchmen need to blow that trumpet and warn the people that you're going to die one day. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then after this is the judgment. We need to blow the trumpet, warn the people, and tell them that you're going to be judged after you die. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds done in our body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Now, we as watchmen, that's our jobs.
Amen.
We need to blow the trumpet and warn the people. People who don't know God in the remission of their sin, that we need to blow the trumpet and let them know that they cannot be saved. They can call on the name of the Lord. Matthew 7:21, they can call on the name of the Lord all they want to. But he said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? And they go on down to that and say, we must obey God rather than man. Is that right? We need to blow the trumpet and let people know. Now, point number two, and I'm just about to sit down. I know y'all smiling. I see somebody smile just then. Amen. What point number two? But point number two has two points. Amen. Point number two has two points. You see, the devil is our adversary. As being watchmen. Now, I'm going to take into, he's our adversary, everybody's adversary, but I'm saying as watchmen, he's our adversary as well. And the devil has a plan to try to destroy you. He does not want you to be saved. He wants you to be lost. Now, the devil has a plan. The devil's plan is found over there. Now, first of all, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse number 8, let's find out who the devil is. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says what? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, that's the devil. He's your adversary. He's your enemy. He's not your friend. Have you ever had, now let me tell you something, he can appear to be your friend. He can appear to be the very best friend you got. He can appear to be your husband. He can appear to be your wife. Amen. He can appear to be your girlfriend. Can be your boyfriend. Your brother, your sister, your cousin, your auntie. He can appear to be anybody. But he means you no good. You ever had a friend that you thought was a friend to the end? But they mean you no good. They meant you harm. They would hurt you, they'd hurt you worse than some stranger out here. Why? Because you let them into your heart. You got to watch out for that devil. Now, his primary function is to destroy you. Look over there. I want Mark chapter 3, verse number 25. Mark chapter 3, verse number 25. The devil has weapons formed against us. The devil has weapons formed against us. And now watch what he says. The devil has weapons formed against us. And the number one weapon that he has is he wants to divide and conquer. He wants to divide and conquer because he knows something. What does the devil know? In Mark chapter 3, verse 25, the devil knows this. Read.
And if a house be divided,
that if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. The devil knows that. He is the father of division. He is the father of schisms. That's why the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10, see that you all speak the same thing, and let there be no division among you. The devil knows that if you are divided, that you can't stand. So he tries to divide us. He tries to keep us divided. Now brother, I'm going to get over there to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1 in just a minute. Then I'm going to get a brother proud. Give it for me, Ephesians 5:19, and I'm going to close this lesson. Now, the devil knows what's going on. The devil knows what's going on. He knows that division creates turmoil, and turmoil creates destruction. So when he is trying to destroy the church, he's trying to destroy you. The hell had been prepared for the devil and his angel. He wants you to go there and suffer with him. I know you're not going to let the devil win. Don't let the devil win. Don't let the devil win. Now look here, look what happened. Now the second thing is, the devil has many weapons formed against us. Number one weapon he has formed against us is he wants to divide and conquer. Number two, and I'm going to close on this one, is the devil knows what he's doing. He's cunning and he's crafty. Because what the devil has done to the church today is this. He took entertainment and put it in the church today to divide and conquer the Lord's church. Amen. Now see, this lesson, what I'm finna preach now, it's not popular. This is the kind of thing that it get me labeled as being a troublemaker. This right here, this is the kind of thing that I'm going to preach to keep me from being a national evangelist. You know, one of these big time slick chop preachers, you know. They say, well, you got a big head like a preacher. You're a big man like a preacher. You got a big voice like a preacher. But you'll never get nowhere preaching what you're preaching. Well, that's all right. It's what I'm preaching to get me to heaven. And that's where I want to go. Is that all right? I'm not worried about going to Washington State and California preaching and all of that. Hey, amen. I can stay right here in Middle Tennessee. And I'll be all right. Is that all right? Amen. But I'm going to stand on this until somebody can give me some book, a chapter, and the verse and show me where entertainment in the church is all right. Amen. I'm talking about in the worship service. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not talking about taking the children out on a little outing or a picnic or in the tree or having a fellowship. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in the worship.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you where it stemmed from. I know folk are not going to like it, but that's all right. It's all right. You don't have to like it. It's just like cash oil. Cash oil, that's some of the nastiest mess I ever put in my mouth in my life. I didn't put it there. Mama put it there. She had a switch in one hand and a spoon in another. Amen. Now, it wasn't good to me, but Lord have mercy, it was good for me. Yes, amen. If I was sick, cash oil fixed me right up. Amen. Entertainment in the church. The entertainment that I'm speaking of is our singing in worship. I'm just going to take one tonight, and I'm going to let this lesson alone. Is that all right? Now, if y'all want some more, call me back.
Yeah.
Amen. Singing in the Lord's church, we have some things that we are confused on in the Lord's church. When it comes down to worship, John chapter 4, give me John 4. I want verse number 21, and we'll follow it. Some things that we are confused on in the Lord's church and the worship is that we assume that the worship is all about us. And whether we like it, and whether it's satisfactory to us, as whether it's self-gratifying to me, and what my approval is, and what I like and I don't like. See, I told you this is controversial, but that's all right. You see, it ain't got anything to do with us. How do you know? I wouldn't know if I hadn't opened the book and found the place where it's written, John chapter 4 and verse 21. Let's see what the worship is all about. Read it.
Jesus said unto her,
woman, believe me.
This is what Jesus met the woman at the well.
The hour
and, and, she was made to hold on just a second. She met the woman at the well, and she was getting water, and she said, "Can I get you some water?" And all this, that, and forth. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "There's coming a time when the true worship of God is not going to worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem, but the true worship of God." Read.
Thou cometh. We shall neither in this mountain.
You shall neither in this mountain.
Nor yet in Jerusalem.
Nor yet in Jerusalem.
Worship the Father.
Worship the Father.
You worship, you know not.
You
what?
Worship, you know not.
We know what you worship.
We know what you worship.
For salvation is of Jews.
Salvation of the Jews.
But the hour cometh.
Listen to what he said. But the hour cometh.
And now is.
The hour cometh and now is. Read.
When the true worship.
Hold it. Wait a minute. You're going too fast. Wait a minute. We got to get this thing one good word at a time. Amen. Amen. I know you're trying to read fast and get out of here. I know. Amen. When the true. Listen to that word. When the true. So what that tells me then, there's got to be some false worship.
Amen. Yes, sir.
When the true worshipers of God. So there's also some false worshipers of God. When some people say, "I'm worshiping the same God you are," don't fault them. Don't fault them, because they are. Sometimes we are. We're all worshiping the same God. But you see, there's a way you got to worship God. The true worshipers of God. Read. Shall worship what?
The Father and Spirit.
Shall worship what?
The Father and Spirit.
The true worshipers of God shall not worship themselves. It is not about them. It is not about us. The true worshipers of God shall worship. Listen to that word. Worship the Father. Read.
In spirit
and in truth. Now, this is not something that was just said. This is not something that people just want you to do. For let's read the next few words. For what?
For the Father.
That's God the Father. Read.
Seeketh such
to worship who?
Him.
To worship him. Who? The Father seeketh such to worship him. When we come together and assemble ourselves together, we are not worshiping one another. We are not here to get self-gratification. We are here to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Tired, so I get tired sometimes, y'all. Upsets me sometimes. To go into a worship service sometime and see folk in there just carrying on. I went into a worship service, y'all. I don't mind telling you. Sat down in there. I've been going down that place for years. Sat down in there, and the song leader got up and got ready to start serving. And then he got up there and got his book, called the service order, and got ready to start singing. And I was sitting there ready to sing, and next thing I know, he took off, and I heard boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. I said, must be somebody outside going down the road, y'all know, that loud music going on. But that was in the worship. I heard James say, "My brethren, these things ought not to be."
Amen.
Mm. See, that's why they call me a troublemaker, because I'll stand on it till the day I die. You show me in the scripture where God ever commanded us to make noise with our mouth like a boom de da boom boom in there. Amen. He said, "Make a joyful noise."
Amen.
Now, you at Ephesians 5:19? All right, just hold what you got there. Now, we're going to be there in just a minute. The devil knows what's going on. He used entertainment to try to divide us. He used entertainment to create controversy and conflict, because he knows through division, the house cannot stand. Look over there at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. Paul said, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." He said, "For the time will come." And I want you to know tonight, as I'm getting ready to take my seat, I want you to know tonight the time will come, but the time is here. The time is now when men will not endure sound doctrine. You know what? I listen sometime to the acapella singing. I love to hear acapella singing. Amen. Acapella singing is some of the most beautiful singing you ever heard in your life. Is that all right? And I love to listen to acapella singing. But everything that sounds good don't belong in the worship service. You got folks that you got folks in some of the churches. See, my job as a watchman, Brother Daniel, Amen. Is to blow the trumpet and warn the people. I'm so glad today that I can come to a place like Hart Street, and I ain't got to listen to all that foolishness. Is that all right? Because let me tell you something. When I heard, let me finish my story. When I heard that boom, diggy, boom, 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 boom going on, I sat there through the first hymn. I got up, amen, and they said, Brother Holman, do you want to lead a song? I said, no, but I got something I need to say. And they handed me the mic, amen. And I said, I'm so glad that they handed me that mic. Because I said, I tell you one thing, I stand here before you today. I usually don't get up and leave out of a worship service, but I'm going to leave here. Because the things that you're doing is not according to the scripture. I said, until your elders and your preacher can show me in the word of God where this thing is going on, is it written in the scripture, I will not be a part of it. I gave the mic back and I went on my way. Is that right? I was talked about. I was beat down. I was labeled a troublemaker. Is that all right? Stirring up a bunch of mess. That's all he's good for. He's always negative. We're trying to do something positive. Is that all right? But I come to realize one thing today. Now, if it's going to take the group singing in the worship service to get some members in there, it's going to take a choir and a set of drums to keep them there. I heard an old preacher say, if it take one hamburger to get you in, it's going to take two to keep you. Is that all right? We need to cut out a lot of, you know, in the church today. See, that's why a lot of times, y'all like to say, I don't get a whole lot of meetings. Because when I go somewhere, if it's going on, I'm going to call it out. Because of being a watchman, that's my job. It's what I'm supposed to do. See, don't fall prey to that thing. Because it sounds good. I love to hear acapella sing. It sounds good on Saturday night. But what's going to go on Saturday night ain't got no business in the worship on Sunday. Amen. See, I remember a long time ago when the old folks used to fight against it. They used to fight against it tooth and nail. Oh, no, that's the awfulest thing that ever had been. But you know the reason? You know, I really didn't understand why, because I liked the way it sounded. I never did understand why. Why are they arguing against it? What's wrong with it? But you see, what they knew was this, that God never mandated it in his word. And God's word is the governor. It controls it. And if you don't have any control on it, guess what? It's left up to man to say when it goes too far. So what's too far for me may not be too far for you. That's why in some of these services, and all you got to do, I tell you what you do. If you don't believe what I'm saying, go on YouTube. Go on YouTube and you'll see I call a shame and a disgrace in the worship service. See, I stand on it. I ain't worried about no folks talking about me. They'll beat you down sometime. They'll talk about you. They'll scandalize your name. They'll tell you, you ain't nothing. You make me sick. I just prefer you didn't even come. Well, you don't have to prefer. I don't come because I ain't coming. If it, amen, if it's not according to the scripture, I ain't be there no how. The only reason I was there at that time because I ran up on it. Amen. But let me tell you something. Stand strong, Hart Street. Hart Street, stand strong. You'll be rewarded one day. Yes, you stand strong because let me tell you something. When a lot of them get so far out there, they're going to try to come back. And sometimes they get out so far that it's hard for them to get back. But you just stand on God's word. Keep standing. Folk, let me tell you something. Christ was our example. I learned from Christ. When Christ came preaching water baptism. When Christ came talking about you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. When Christ came and he was talking all of these hard sayings, the people said, these are hard sayings. Now, how can anybody hear this? But let me tell you something Christ done. Through it all, Christ kept the faith. Through it all, Christ kept his mind about him. You didn't hear where he fired off and just punched somebody in the eye and fell all out. You know what? Sometimes when folk throw dirt, our first initiative and our first thing is to pick up some dirt and throw it back. Is that all right? That's not for us to throw dirt back. Let them throw dirt on you. Is that all right? Let them throw dirt at you. It's going to be all right. You just keep on standing because folk are going to beat you down sometime. They're going to talk about you. Let me tell you something. Don't let them, never let them get them. Don't ever let them get you down any further than your knees. Is that all right? You just look up and tell them, you can talk about me just as much as you please, but I'm going to talk about you down on my bending knees. See, I'm going to talk to the master, and I'm going to tell him, Lord, have mercy on them, for they know not what they do. Is that all right? I've been there, y'all. I know what I'm talking about. Folk tell me this and tell me that, scandalize my name. That's all right. There were some people who used to stand with Apostle Paul over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. There were some that were stood with him when he was facing Alexander the coppersmith. Alexander the coppersmith was giving Paul and the other apostles a hard way to go. Is that right? The Bible said there were some that withstood with me. He said that, but they stand with me no more. Paul said it looked like I was standing all alone. Amen. He said, but I turned and seen that the Lord was standing right by my side. I want you to know that when you got God by your side, he's more than the whole world against you. Is that all right? If you got God, yes, sir, if you got God, then who can be against you? Let me tell you something. Stay humble. Stay humble. Stay down on bending knee. Now let me tell you what folk gonna do. If you're down on your bending knee, they gonna kick dirt on you. They gonna kick dirt on you. They gonna keep throwing dirt at you. But I heard a story about an old goat one time that fell down in an old dug well. And the farmer raised that goat from a baby. Is that right? And when he raised that goat from a baby, said that he fell down in that well and the farmer couldn't get him out. Said, well, I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get my shovel. I'm gonna get some of my friends. And we're gonna go on and bury my goat. Is that all right? Said that the farmer took the shovel, threw the dirt down there on that old goat, but that old goat just shook it off. That old goat tramped it under his feet, and the old goat rose just a little bit higher. Is that all right? I want you to know they took dirt and threw it down there on that old goat. That old goat shook it off, tramped it under his feet, and rose just a little bit higher. Didn't throw the dirt back out, because when they took the dirt and they threw it down, he used the dirt that they threw, trampled it under his feet, and kept on rising. They kept on throwing. The goat kept on shaking, and the goat kept on rising. For you know what happened? The goat came on up out of that well. Is that right? Men are going to throw dirt at you sometime, but you just learn to shake it off. Amen. Trample it under your feet, and God is going to keep you moving on up. Is that all right? I believe James said to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you in due time. In due time, he will raise you up. Amen. I got to quit. I got to quit because that thing, amen, amen. Blow the trumpet and warn the people. Let them know. Look, you know, we know what God's word said. And no one has the authority to change God's word. It is not for us to change God's word to fit our lives. But rather, we have to change our lives to fit God's word. I believe it's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and verses number 2, if I make no mistake. I think verse 2 said, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you're here tonight, you're not a member of the Lord's church, you ought to come tonight. For me being a watchman, I've got to tell you tonight that if you're not a member of the Lord's church, if you should die tonight, your soul will be lost. Your soul will be lost. If you are walking against the distance from God, Jesus said, where I am, you cannot come. If you should die in your sin, Now you are in your sins until you get them washed away. Meet the blood of the Lamb in the water and get your sins washed away. But until you do that, you are still living in your sin. If you are a member of the Lord's church, but yet you've fallen astray, you've sinned. Your sin has separated between you and God. It separated you. So if you're not with God, when you die, you are standing a guilty distance from God. Saved, you will never be. You have an opportunity tonight, right now, to do something about it. In your mind, the Bible says you must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation. You must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 15 and verse number 7. Peter said, after that had been much disputed, and said, Peter stood and said, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago that God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel of Christ and believe it. After you heard it, you then must believe that which you've heard, that Jesus left the scenes of glory, came to this world, died that shameful death upon a cross, buried in Joseph Arimathea's new tomb, but on the third morning he rose again according to the scripture. You must believe that with all your heart. You must believe it to the point, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, but you must believe it to the point that you are willing to change your heart, change the heart of your mind. I'm going to stop doing those things that are wrong and the things that I want to do, and I'm going to start doing what God would have me to do. That's what repentance is, a determinate change of mind. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, he said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you should all likewise to perish. And then be willing to stand before men and confess the sweetest name upon mortal tongue. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're willing to make that confession, then be buried with him in baptism. Meet the blood of the Lamb in the water in the same likeness as Christ died and was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scripture. So then we ought to be buried with him in baptism. Be resurrected therefore to walk in the newness of life. Romans chapter 6 verses 1 through 4. If you're willing to do that and then remain faithful until the day that you die. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Be thou faithful unto death and Christ, and I will give thee a crown of life that never fade away. Be thou faithful unto death. And if you die right, you live right, you die right, you're going to get up right. And the old folks said everything then will be all right. Do you want to be saved tonight? Let me ask you to stand on your feet. Let me ask you just stand up. Just stand up tonight. Now, you have just taken the first step to saving your soul. If you're not a member of the church, think about becoming a member. Thinking about saving yourself from this untoward generation. Thinking about being buried with the Lord in baptism. If you want to do that, I beg and plead with you to come. Jesus said, behold, I stand at your heart's door and knock. If any man open, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. If you want to be a member this evening, we've got time. The water's ready. The clothes are ready. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready to step out? If you're ready to step out on faith, we don't have to be singing right now. If you want to come out, come on. Come on out. If you're here and you're a member of the Lord's church, but you've fallen astray, you come short of God's glory, get that thing right today. Don't stay down in the whole pen of sin and shame, but get up, dust yourself off, and say, hey, come on back home. Just to tell the Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. And ask him to forgive you of your sin and your shortcoming. And request the prayer of the righteous, because the Bible said the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man, it availeth much. Do you want to come? Will you come? Are you afraid? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Come right now as we sing the song of invitation.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small.
Will you come to him today?
Out of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Will you come?
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left.
Will you come to the Lord tonight? Come to him. Come to him tonight. Come to him.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power.
Jesus paid the price for you today. Said no greater love have a man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Will you come to him? Put him moving in your feet. Don't be afraid. Come to him tonight. Come to him.
Jesus paid it all.
He paid the ultimate price. He did it for you and me. Will you come? You may be seated.
Has left a crimson stain.